You're tuned in to Faces of Success Radio. We play the music that makes you feel good. We have many great air personalities throughout the country and world on Faces of Success. You can hear TJ the DJ and the R&B Lounge out of Dallas, Texas, the Midnight Soul Show in Sacramento, California, Stormy Monday Blues in Reno, Nevada, Mercy and Grace Gospel in Gambia, Africa, Smooth Conversation and Club 976 Radio in Florida, Bonafide Soul Man Radio in Arizona, Crossfade Radio in Canada, and Urban Gospel Sounds in Dallas-Fort Worth. All right here on FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. Tune in for the best gospel, R&B, and hip-hop, blues, and rock on your station that makes you feel good.
For those of you that are just now tuning in, this is FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. We have Michael Cooper live in the studio. I am your host, Pearl J. Right after this break.
You're tuned in to Faces of Success Radio. We play the music that makes you feel good. We have many great air personalities throughout the country and world on Faces of Success. You can hear TJ the DJ and the R&B Lounge out of Dallas, Texas, the Midnight Soul Show in Sacramento, California, Stormy Monday Blues in Reno, Nevada, Mercy and Grace Gospel in Gambia, Africa, Smooth Conversation and Club 976 Radio in Florida, Bonafide Soul Man Radio in Arizona, Crossfade Radio in Canada, and Urban Gospel Sounds in Dallas-Fort Worth. All right here on FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. Tune in for the best gospel, R&B, and hip-hop, blues, and rock on your station that makes you feel good.
FacesOfSuccessRadio.com.
We have Michael Cooper live in the studio with us right now. How was your trip?
It was fantastic. I had my my personal driver, my wife Marion. She happens to be an Autobahn expert.
Oh, wow. Well, we are so excited to have you here today, Mr. Cooper, and I want to jump right into your interview. I want to thank you for being a guest on Faces of Success Radio. I want to ask you, I understand from doing a lot of research on you that you have a favorite artist, and it's Babyface. Will you let us know why?
Well, Babyface is completely all around. You know, he's his own artist. He's a guitar player extraordinaire. He's a writer. He is a producer of many, right? But yeah, Babyface is phenomenal. And then I know of him and the Deal, and the Roots. They all, you know, all kind of came up, and they had that really spectacular run with, and then of course the hookup with Pebbles and all the other artists. I just kind of go back a long way with them.
Well, that's interesting. I also know that you said you wanted to be remembered as the guy that sang the Love Train song. Why is that?
Well, my God, it's kind of like Sinatra in New York. You know, I mean. Forever now, and as you know why, but right now, Love Train has its wings, and it's soaring now, and it's born again after 40 years, and it would be wonderful to be remembered as the guy who wrote and sang such a song, and then to have it re-sung by an enormous artist. It's kind of like Dolly Parton. Someone said that Whitney or somebody said, I hope we did your song justice. And Dolly said, yeah, girl, you made me a rich woman.
I know that there was a Confunction 1 and then later became Confunction 2. Can you give me the background on that?
It's basically the original Confunction 1 included myself and the original seven members, Danny Thomas, Cedric Martin, Lewis McCall, Carl Fuller, Zed Villan Harrell. It was original guys who actually we did the grit. We got down the trenches. We wrote the original songs. We ran the nightclubs. We did the military bases. We did the South and on the buses and slept in the back of U-Haul trucks. And you know, we blazed the trail. We got signed and we started having hits after hit after hit, right? And then we came to a point like most groups where. We were successful, and then we were starting that going downhill, where music started to change, and that some of us didn't handle that well. You know, there were some people that turned to drugs. There were some people that marriages exploded, and a lot of that frustration came to these meetings. And after so much of that, maybe a couple of years of that, it was time to take a break. And so I did so by going with solo with Warner Brothers under the wing of Club Nouveau. And once that ran its course for about 6 years and three albums and five top 10 hits, I was lucky enough to have a manager who had the insight to say, you know what, this might be a good time to restart. Your group can function. I'm starting to get calls, and all the radio stations are starting to play all the old school music again, and they're getting away from a lot of hip hop and new jack swing and. They're bringing back the 70s music. What do you think? And so we did one date. I called Felton, I called Zebulon, and I called Carl. And I said, look, I got my horns. I got my two lead singers, and we'll use my band, the rest of my young guys. And let's just get together one time and do this New Year's Eve date and make all this money. And they said, Felton said, okay. And I called the other two guys. I said, okay. And after that, we've been together ever since.
Well, that is totally awesome. Rewinding the clock a little bit, what was the role of a musician in your early years of life?
Early years of life, I split the two. I didn't have a lot of faith in music being my livelihood. Mm-hmm. I had all these different interests, and going in the Navy was one of them, and then the other one was being a police officer. And I finally got a chance to go to college and take some courses that enabled me to be a reserve police officer. And at that point, I got a taste of it, and I liked it, and I decided to make that my backup. And then I turned back to music, and lo and behold, the music caught fire. You know, the music literally caught fire and took off. So as a musician, I turned musician quite by accident. You know, in other words, it became a serious livelihood, and we became very, very sought after. And I said, well, I better put the law enforcement on the back burner now because it's time to do some music.
Well, with Confunction being around about a half a century and you serving as a law enforcement officer, how do you bring balance in between your wife, your home life, you know, and your music and being involved with law enforcement?
Well, you have to have the right partner. You have to have the right wife who understands that part of it and understands the type of person you are and your needs. And, you know, it won't work if there's no understanding, there's no meeting of the minds on this career, this music career thing. It doesn't hurt to have wonderful children that always support you, you know, as the years go by. So they begin to fend for themselves and just recognize that, hey, my dad is out there doing his thing. But then I have to come back again to the fact that, you know, relationships, you got to have the, you know, I started out, my first wife didn't understand that. She wanted the attention. The attention was mostly going to the music, and it didn't work out. And after that, to be lucky enough to meet my present wife, not just because she's sitting here, but I would say this if I was 2,000 miles away. when I met someone who actually became my partner, my friend, and my buddy, and we're so, so opposite, you know. She's neat, she's clean, she's organized, and I'm haphazard. And she's been working on me, and she really has been a true, true angel in my life. And she is everything. So for a gentleman out there, if you're listening, you know, and you're trying to, you know, have a career in anything, especially law enforcement. Boy, that one's really hard. Law enforcement, music, all these really, you know, really tight, tedious, heavy stress careers, it'd be good to have a partner that can understand you and work with you.
All right. So let's talk about Confunction. That name is just amazing, first of all. So let's talk about how Confunction came about. How was the name developed?
Wow. Oh, that's really a little bit of a story. So I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to start from the back, from the front, and go backwards.
Okay.
Right now, the name Confunction is literally a name of a song. And the song was written by a group called Nightlighters. Mm-hmm. The Nightlighters were a backup band who did get a recording contract with RCA. They were a backup band for New Birth and The Main Ingredient, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it became unbelievable that we would be on a show with them in the late 60s. We wound up on a show with them we were a little local band, and they were doing their thing. You know, they were hired to be the headliners of the Unity Festival in Sacramento, California. And we were on the campus, and we stayed over on that 3-day weekend. We actually lived on campus at Sacramento State. Bottom line is, one morning we wake up and we hear these guys playing horns out at the pool in their swimming trunks. I mean, it's already 90 degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning in Sacramento. And these guys are out, and they're recording this riff, and this riff had a chant. And we were going, oh, that is so cool. That's so cool. Who are these guys, right? Later on that night, found out that the New Birth, right? And these guys were the backup band. And before the group came out, they came out and they played this song. They said, hey, you guys got to be careful how you groove to this, because it's spelled, we got a funny spelling on this next song. It's on the B-side of our latest single, and it's called Confunction. And he said, Confunction. And then they started to play it, and it turned out to be the same song they're rehearsing at the pool. So we thought, oh my God, we listened to it. And all of you out there, if you go to YouTube, you look up the Nightlighters, and I think it's spelled L-I-T-E-R, Nightlighters, N-I-T-E. So they completely mess up the spelling. That's like we messed our spelling up on fun. Now they make sure the spelling is oddball. And you will hear the song, Confunction. And that, fast forward to Memphis, Tennessee, we go and we were sitting around and we tried to get a little recording contract in Memphis, and the guy told us straight up, he said, we were called Project Soul, and the guy said, you guys can't keep that name, you got to come up with something else, because we can't make any money with a name like Project Soul. And we sat down in our little apartments and we sat there and we huddled around there drinking wine and other things. And somebody said, hey, what about that group, the Nightlighters? I said, well, we can't take their name. They already got that name. No, the song. And everybody said, yeah, Confunction. And it was weird. Everybody looked at each other like, wow. And he said, what do you think? I think, let's do it. And what do you think? Let's do it. We didn't have to vote. It was unanimous. And we took that name and we went down to the club the next night and told the audience, probably, and Mr. Bennett, the club owner, wasn't too thrilled about it, that from this point on, we will be known as Confunction. And it'd been like, what? What is that? You know, we asked Mr. Bennett to put it up on the marquee at the club. It was an ex-movie theater. And it took about 2 weeks. The next thing we know, we were off to the races. We were officially Confunction in Memphis, Tennessee.
How did that feel at that point?
It felt like we really accomplished something, because we had been Project Soul for like 4 to 5 years, you know, as 16, 17, 8-year-olds, 18-year-olds. And we had been Project Soul. So to abandon that name felt like we were standing flat-footed in Memphis, Tennessee, mm-hmm. which is the home of Stax Records and Isaac Hayes and all these, you know, all this music surrounding us. And we had the gall to change our name and say, we're going to be something else. And we did get the little recording contract, and we did have a local hit and with that name. And so we felt like we did a good thing.
Amen. So what did you think they didn't like? Was it the project or the soul? About the name that they didn't like. That's what I
think. It was where we came from in Vallejo, California. A lot of the black or the R&B bands, everybody wanted to use that word, soul. Mm-hmm. You had natural soul. We had elements of soul. We had Soul Incorporated, so we just picked Project Soul. So we had about 5 or 6 bands that were something soul or soul something. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to fit in. No big deal.
Oh, wow. Okay, so let's talk about the remake of Love Train that was done by Bruno Mars and Silconic. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on that are everywhere, all over the place. Okay. I can tell you the story of how it actually, we had no idea. You know, a lot of people have approached me, and we're coming right now. We're at the kind of like the closing of our 40th anniversary Love Train tour. Mm-hmm. So I've had a lot of interviews, and a lot of people have either called in and asked me, you know, how did you guys go to them and take the song to them? How'd they get your song? Or did they just take it? Are you going to sue those guys? Are you going to sue them and really get paid? You know, they know everybody had all these ideas. What happened is these guys told to us by them, mm-hmm. loved the song. Mm-hmm. In their early teens, mm-hmm. they just absolutely gravitated. They were like 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, and they loved the song Love Train, right? Mm-hmm. Both Anderson and Bruno. And I think as parents, the parents of Anderson and Bruno, they would have to have had played this music, mm-hmm. you know, and they have had to have lived it and heard it and really begin to live it, Confunction and Love Train, but so much music, you know. And we got a chance to ask them, and they told us, yeah, we always love this song, you know. And they don't cover a lot of music. You think about it, Bruno, you don't hear Bruno covering a lot of music. It's all original, mm-hmm. right? I'm not saying he hasn't covered anything, but you don't hear them recovering a lot of stuff. So that song had to be very special to them to decide that they wanted to do it, right? So between Dr. Dre and Anderson and Bruno and, you know, the whole camp at the time for Silk Sonic and Bootsy, somebody made the decision for them to record Love's Train.
Well, I heard the song and I was like, almost fell to the floor because he nailed that song. I was like, okay, Michael Cooper Jr., okay, yeah. Just stop. Because he really nailed it. I was like really proud of him. Okay, so the original Love Train came out in 1982, about 40 years ago, and sold over 450,000 copies. When you reached that peak, what was that like for you guys?
The weird thing about that is 450,000 copies of the album sold because Love Train was in it. Mm-hmm. But the company at the time, they couldn't see Confunction as a ballad group. Mm-hmm. They just, everything had to be up-tempo and funky. So it's because they had number one with Fun, 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 top 5 with Shake and Dance With Me, mm-hmm. top 5 with Chase Me. You know, they think, oh, no, it's all about you guys got to be up-tempo and you got to be funky. Well, this particular album, To the Max, was sort of the beginning of the computer age for us, you know, drum machine age. We were starting to get heavily influenced by outside, you know, songs and things like that. Mm-hmm. What happened is we just didn't have a hit. We didn't have an up-tempo hit. We released You Are the One. Great song, but, you know, public wasn't buying it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we released one other, I don't know what it was, Miss Got the Body or something. We released a second up-tempo song. Didn't happen. But while those two songs were out there trying to find their place, mm-hmm. radio stations decided something's wrong with these fools. Mm-hmm. We playing Love Train.
Right.
And they played it, and they played it, and they played it. So we said, well, we're going to be, Love Train's going to be the third single. And then one guy said, Bill Washington said, it's too late for that. Just call the station, tell them to cart it up and play it, and just tell them it's coming. But we've exhausted our funds and everything else. You know, we're going to go let Love Train stand the album. And the only way they can get Love Train is go to the store and buy the whole album.
Right.
So hence the album was doing terrible, like around 120, 130,000 records. And when they said, okay, cart it up and play it, we're coming with it, radio station took off with it, and the record just shot all the way up. Couldn't get on the charts because it was not a single.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want you to know I'm a great fan of Love Train. I love that song. I mean, I played it, you know, most of my life, so I'm a really great fan of it. When it was when the remake of it was released on February 14th, how did you respond to that?
It was crazy. I got to get the story to you without being too wordy. The way we found out about it, my daughter sent it to me on my phone on a text and said, push on this link. Mm-hmm. And I saw the logo and I saw the, you know, same thing you have on your poster. And I hit on the link and the song started, right? And I listened to it and then I stopped it. Mm-hmm. And I immediately called Felton because this was crazy. I mean, Bruno Mars is getting ready to sing Love Train and I ain't never heard it before. Well, it was released at sometime 12 midnight or something. And you know, nobody had to check with us to do that. They just pushed the button and it was released. And when Felton, he did his due diligence, Bruno was all over Instagram with it already that he, you know, we were doing Confunction's Love Train. So I went out and got in the car and I listened to it all the way through. It was unbelievable. It was mind blowing how close they stayed to our version while putting a twist on it. And especially towards the end, you know, they really stretched out and then they return to the way we play it on stage. They got that off YouTube. They returned to the way we play it on stage. So they've been doing their homework, and I was blown away. I guess I was on, like, cloud 100 for about 3 weeks.
Well, a lot of, you know, the older groups, you know, split up and break up. What does the future hold for Confunction? How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing fine. As a matter of fact, we just need some more years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sure you're going to get them because you guys are all
we just need some more years ahead of us, you know, because we've been revitalized. We actually, when we went backstage and talked to Bruno and Anderson, they had no idea that we were working. Mm-hmm. They literally asked us, are you guys working? What are you guys doing? And like, we were working. And I told them, but we're about to really start working now. Because by then, I think the record had been out about what? That was in the Grammys, was in, they were April. So they put it out in February. So it had been out there a while. It had charted and it was getting played. And I said, we're about to really be working. Mm-hmm. All right? And he said, yeah, man, because we're right here. We ain't going nowhere. We're going to be here for a while. At the MGM Park. So they couldn't tour. And, you know, then they won the Grammy and had number one album, number one record, Leave the Door Open. There's a juicy little tidbit, too, I got to let you in on. Only maybe one radio station in the country knows about, and I'm surprised how they found out. But, we decided to go ahead and make it what it was, the 40th anniversary, and nobody realized it. We had paid no attention to it. And they didn't know anything about it being the 40th anniversary of the song. God put that in motion. And when we realized it was in 1982, the song came out, we just took off. We made it our theme, named the tour, the 40th anniversary tour, and then we just jumped out there. They lit the fuse, and it all came down on us. We had to go out and tour and do 40 dates because of Love Train. Finally, Love Train got its wings as a single.
Wow. Something kind of caught my attention watching some of you have, and, you know, the state of Nevada, well, I should say Reno, Nevada, is at an all-time high for youth suicide. And I know that you're trying to work with kids in your community. And I believe it was elementary patrol you're trying to put together for the kids.
Yeah, I approach, I belong to an organization, well, I belong to the Solano County Sheriff Department, number one. Mm-hmm. And within that organization is a division called the SSOs. Mm-hmm. And part of our duty is to guard the courts, libraries, and parks. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do, some of the social services buildings. Mm-hmm. But I worked with the sheriff as a patrolman. We partnered up in a patrol car, you know, way, 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 way back. And he's now the sheriff. And I called him up after Sandy Hook. And I told him, I said, man, I got to figure out a way. I said, I got so many kids and grandkids out there and so many nieces and grandnieces. I said, I would love to get in a position to where I can help and guard some of these kids. And the first thing they said is, we have the SSOs. And we can stick you at our libraries. And the first library they put me in was the Suisun, California Library, which was connected to an elementary school. Mm-hmm. And I was assigned, I was the only person armed within 1,000 feet of all these elementary school kids. And that gave me great gratification. I was there for close to almost a year and a half at working that spot. Because I could just look out the window and see all these kids, right, and know that if something were to happen, I can run.
Right.
And it just caught on that one from one to the next. I went to the Vallejo Library, and then now, of course, I'm back at the courts, and other guys younger than me are now doing the libraries and stuff like that. And and we're right in there with the people and the kids and everything. We're right there. I mean, literally. Because of this division, we can actually be within seconds on the campus and to protect the kids.
For someone
following your footsteps, what advice would you
give? There was then, mm-hmm. me as a young man, and what I did back in the 70s and 80s, and the dollar bill and the price of gas, and mm-hmm. everything was different. No internet, no cell phones, no nothing. And we got what we got. Earth, Wind, and Fire did the same thing. Daz Band did the same thing. Everybody made it happen using the tools that were available to them. If I was to give someone advice back then, it would be one thing. Mm-hmm. But today, with the internet and the cell phones and then the insanity that exists because of that, you know, because of the internet and cell phones and how quickly things can go good and go bad, the first thing I would tell somebody out of high school or you know, listen, rehearse live. Learn how to play your instrument, okay? Learn your instrument. Don't just sample and rap over it and you think you're all that, because mm-hmm. you're not. Someone before you set this up and blazed a trail, realize that where you are with this internet business, realize that you should go back and get in the grit and learn your craft, learn your instrument, play, learn your guitar, learn your piano, learn the basics, okay? The moment you start making money, invest it. If you make $2, put one in investment, one in your pocket. And that goes for everything. I mean, you know, that doesn't mean you literally have to do it that way, but always reinvest back into yourself and make sure you're building what they call today a brand, right? Because you do have the internet and you do have Amazon and you do have iTunes. You can definitely start your own record label and start your own company, and people will eventually hear you. But please, please, please keep your body clean, no drugs, keep your education always on the uplift. Keep constantly getting up. Don't stop with high school. Never stop with high school. You have got to go out there and pursue your degree and pursue a business type of, or, you know, things like that where you dabble in business. You know good business. You know your credit score. One of the biggest things I would tell kids, protect your Social Security number. Don't let nobody use it. You'd be surprised at how many parents take their 5-year-old Social Security number and start living off of it and buying cars and doing things like that. Okay. And that is one of the worst things you can ever do to your children, you 20-year-old parents out there. You know, don't use your kids' Social Security number. You're destroying your future for them, and it's unfair to them. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised. So kids out there, are we 15, if you hear me, 21, 25, protect your Social Security number. Try to get your credit score up and keep it up. And that's one of the things. Those are, you know, nickel and dime, nitty-gritty things that kids need to be told.
Honestly, because credit means everything these days. Without it, you're nothing, basically. Mm-hmm. So what is the biggest problem you ever encountered in the journey of your music?
Oh, man, the biggest problem. I think ego, testosterone, drugs, you know, and alcohol. Mm-hmm. Those things were always present. You know, you had to have a woman in every city. You know, you had to sample the wine, sample the whiskey, sample the joint, sample the cocaine. You know, we had guys in our band that literally got hooked. They were functioning, but they got hooked. We left guys behind. We get on the bus and leave a dude somewhere. Mm-hmm. He might show up the next gig and he might not. If it were me, I would testify and tell you with me. It wasn't me, but you know, I was charged with the task of trying to keep it together. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of those things. I think with the troublesome thing is really one's ego and one's ability to keep oneself in check. You know, my grandma used to say, "Okay, you're starting to smell yourself now." Mm-hmm. You know, you have to keep that in check. Right. And we, like a lot of groups, we struggled with that. You know, on the surface, we go on stage, everybody, "Oh, you guys are great. You're fantastic." You know, and then we get on the bus and somebody's missing or somebody wanted to try to go get with a girl. "Hey, man, I'll fly in. I'll catch a flight tomorrow and I'll meet you guys there." You know, I mean, and then here I am going, "Okay, Lord have mercy. Now I got to figure out if this dude don't make the gig, what's going to happen?" You know. So those are the troublesome times, you know. A lot of guys met with divorce. In my case, it was divorce and taxes, child support. You know, I was able to do it, but it slowed me down. You know, it really grind at me when it came to my creativity. Yeah. You know, and so just getting back to what we said earlier, meeting someone who could really, you know, kick you in the pants until you get out there and make it happen. That's what every guy needed, and every guy in our band didn't have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen a lot of, you know, musicians lose some very good women in their life because of their career, you know, mm-hmm. and being on the road and doing different things. But what message would you like to give to your fans?
Thank you. That's the first one.
Okay.
The first message in the world. We have played some halls, some buildings, some amphitheaters in the last 3 months that were filled with people from 75 all the way down to 25. Bruno and Anderson helped the 25-year-old to 30, 40-year-old crowd really get hip to that song. Mm-hmm. And the parents obviously hip the kids to the people that wrote that song are coming to town. So we are just over the moon thankful to all of our fans and now all of our new fans. And we, of course, we raise our hands to God every single day because, man, we've been on some planes. We've been on some roads. Like I said before, people have faced drug problems. We have been through it and have come all the way full circle. I'm 70 years old, and I'm still here.
No way. Oh, I didn't know you're 70. You don't look 70 years old.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, I don't know how 70 is supposed to look, but you don't look 70.
Thank you.
But, okay, I know you have the Love's Train tour, you know, currently going. What's next for Confunction?
Well, we have a brand-new Christmas CD that shall be released probably in the next. We're hoping for Halloween night, but right at around November the 5th, we finished it yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's called Home for Christmas, Confunction. Mm-hmm. And it is wonderful. I mean, it is just a wonderful listen. You know, it's just something that we're so proud of. That's got about a 2-month lifespan, as you know, because we starting in the first quarter of the year, we'll be dropping So Smooth, our latest mainstream new piece of music from Confunction, new album coming first quarter of the year.
Well, I hope you guys send me a copy.
Oh, you have it? But of course.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. Well, for those of you that are just tuning in, we are on facesofsuccessradio.com. We have Michael Cooper live in the studio. Once again, I want to thank you for being a guest on Faces of Success Radio. Can you please tell our listeners where they can go tune into your music?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, start with ConfunctionUSA.com. Okay, you can go to the website and see where we are and see what we're doing. And then, of course, we've brought our brand new Facebook page. We've got so many people out there have started their own Confunction Facebook pages. So the absolute authentic page for Confunction is Confunction USA for the number real, for real, right? And, of course, that carry that all the way through Instagram and Twitter. And, of course, we have our brand new YouTube channel, which all of our videos and some of our performances, actually, and we have a couple of virtual performances where you literally can see the performance on your phone and turn the phone and look behind as if you're in the doggone concert. Oh, so you can see who's sitting behind you. It's past 3D. It's 3D, but it's virtual. That's going to be on our new YouTube channel, and that's going to be a hoot. We're going to be one of the first people to ever do that. So we've got so much going that I don't know where to start. We've got a lot of irons in the fire. Of course, we'll have the So Smooth tour, which will kick off somewhere around March. We've already got about 10 dates booked for that. So we're going to be rocking, man. We're going to be rocking.
Guys are going to be busy.
Oh, and the big finale is On Love's Train, The Life, The Love, The Man, The Music, that book, my new book, Michael Cooper, On Love's Train. And I'll have then that book will also share with the Best Of. I'll have Best Of Volume 1 and Best Of Volume 2 on the music side.
That's awesome.
So the new book, is it'll finale with Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so we have Love Train in the studio, so we're going to play that right now and go to a break. Thank you.
Thank you.
And special lover. Love keeps you tied to another.
That's the way it goes on love's train. Down, take a ride.
Sometimes heartstrings can be broken. You just got to keep on going.
That's the way it goes on love's train.
Listen, baby. Listen, baby.
Okay, for those of you that are just now tuning in, this is FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. We have Michael Cooper live in the studio. I am your host, Pearl J. Once again, I want to thank you, Mr. Cooper, for being a guest on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All the way from Vallejo, California.
Yeah, man.
Reno, Nevada. I just want to say thank you so very, very much. You signed a poster for me and
everything.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate it. And so, you know, I do have a couple more things I want to jump into on this interview. Is there going to be, like, any other compilations or anything else that you're releasing? No,
I think we've been quite busy putting together the Christmas record and, of course, the Smooth CD project, and then following that the book and best of project. So those I don't know of any other compilation in the works for Confunction, but I do believe that I'm going to be doing a smooth jazz guitar record. Okay, since now I literally got signed to a record deal this past weekend. So they want to be involved in anything and everything we decide we want to do. They want to figure a way of being involved in it. So Smooth Jazz, Michael Cooper Smooth Jazz, is going to be within the next year or two. And so it's going to go from there.
Just how does it just feel to just be blessed all your life with all these different wonderful things that just happen? I mean, people's life go in all different directions, takes all different, you know, roads and, you know, bumps and lumps, but you just really been blessed and successful, and I'm really proud to be able to, you know, sit here with you and get a chance to not only meet you and your wife, Mrs. Cooper, and I just think that's just awesome.
We are completely and truly blessed. We're lucky, right? Because there's a lot of people. A lot of people had more success in a shorter period of time than we did, and they're not here today. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting for us to rise to a certain level that we did, and others went so much higher and bigger dollar figures, bigger tours, bigger platinum records. And they're not here today, just literally not here. And for Confunction to be at our level and maintain over the years and never stop. You know, we're 54 years old now, so we've never stopped. Even the Michael Cooper break continued the sound, right? So the blessing went from the Confunction 1 to the Michael Cooper solo thing, now to Confunction 2, and it's 54 years old, which is weird, because when I was a teenager, I was playing in Project Soul.
Right.
So, you know, it never, ever stopped.
Wow. Well, hats off to you guys, and I wish you all the, you know, more success in everything that you do, and pray that, you know, the Lord continues to keep his arms around you guys, because, you know, we're living in this crazy world today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever you got coming up, please keep us posted, you know, right here in Sparks, Nevada, you know, and we definitely will keep your music in rotation. And I did want to comment on the Love's Train. Bruno Mars, he did hit it, but it's nothing like Michael Cooper singing that song. I got to let everybody know, you know, that song, been around too long, you know, to let somebody, you know, sweep it away. But I mean, he did a great job. I'm going to give him his credit for that. But you, it's nothing like hearing the voice of Michael Cooper.
When I sit and listen to it, there's never a time that I'm in, driving in my car, it comes on the radio, that I will not listen to it all the way through.
Yeah.
There's nothing I'm in a hurry as far as catching an airplane or making something, whatever. If that record, if I'm lucky enough to be in the car and it's on the radio, Sirius or whatever, normal radio, and I will sit until that record, until that guy goes in time, everything going to be all right.
Yeah, you know, and it sounds good. And like I said, he's so close. But I mean, if for somebody that has listened to it all their life, you can hear little things that, you know, you can catch those little things when you know the Michael Cooper voice in that song.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank
you. You're welcome. So, again, thank you for being a guest
thank
on the
you.
Show.
All right. Thank you for having me.
All right. And that's the end of our segment. And so we're going to go to another song. Go ahead and jam.
One, two, three.